Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Woohoo!
I love the way I say that.
Yeah, I feel like
that you always go, woohoo!
We have our little, like, catchphrases and our cadences. Like, I think I do the outro the same every time. We both do the outro.
I definitely do all of the social media the exact same way, and it's always like, you can follow me on Instagram, or not Instagram, Twitter.
If we ever got lazy, I feel like I could just cut from one episode and just, like, paste it forever. Anyways.
Oh, I would not want to do that, because yeah, then that would be about, that's more annoying, actually.
Yeah, that would be way worse. But the cadence would be the same, and no one would know.
No one would know. Occasionally we say something a little bit different, but
yeah.
Anyway.
What are we talking about today? I feel like you haven't introed the show in a while.
Well, that's because I never have anything up.
Oh, yeah.
But we're talking about Luke Cage today.
Yeah.
Season one of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
But, okay. Before we get started with Luke Cage, though, I do want to get into the big Marvel news that happened this week.
Yes, it was very, it was very large and important.
Black Panther is nominated for Best Picture.
It got 7 Oscar noms. That's massive. That's massive just for, like, a superhero movie in general, but also, like, well earned. Black Panther is amazing. We're going to see how this goes, but 7 Oscar noms.
Also, like, Infinity War was also nominated. I just had to, like, bring that up, too.
Oh, wow.
But, like, for one of the lesser, like, it was, like, for visual effects or something.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the Marvel movies, I think, are typically in that category when they get nominated. They end up in the special effects category because, like, where else would they go? But what's important about this is that it was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, that has never happened before.
And while I am really happy that Black Panther is, like, nominated for Best Picture, and it is super, like, what's the momentous?
Yeah.
That it, like, Black Panther specifically is the first film, like, comic book film, superhero film, to be nominated for that category.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Birdman, but that doesn't count.
Birdman was more, it wasn't the same.
It was, like, artsy.
Yeah, that was more dramatic and, like, commentary on superhero. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. This should have happened a long time ago.
Yes.
Because it's truly my belief that, like, I love the Oscars. I love watching the Oscars. Mm-hmm. I don't like it as much as my old roommate from freshman year.
Yeah.
She has the Oscar tattooed on her forearm.
And it's not small. It's her entire forearm, anyways.
I just think that the Oscars have missed out on these Marvel movies because the Marvel movies are, like, huge, and they completely changed the whole game.
Yeah, it's just,
but
the Oscars,
no one cared.
Yeah, the Oscars have that history of being, you know, pretentious and snooty, and if anything is mainstream, then they'll automatically say, oh, then that it's not art. If it's pop culture, then it's not art.
But things can be both. There's a reason things get popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, honestly, it shouldn't be that every year the Oscar nominations happen and I'm like, what are these movies?
Yeah.
Like, more often than not, I'm like, what is this movie?
Mm-hmm.
One year, I actually watched pretty much every single film that was nominated.
Oh, wow. For Best Picture?
Not just for Best Picture. Best Picture, Best Actress, Best Supporting, I went into all of them. Like, if there is any deviation between, like, that, like, and Best Director and all of it, I watched all of them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I can probably tell you about, like, 2 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was the year, like, Boyhood got nominated, and I have such strong opinions about that movie and how it's bad, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, I remember that movie. Okay, yeah.
But, like, you watch the Oscars, and you're like, I don't even know what these movies are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing here. Oh, wait, Dark Knight Rises.
Which one? Which category was that nominated for?
Heath Ledger... Or not Dark Knight Rises, Dark Knight, The Dark Knight.
Right, right.
Heath Ledger was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, so that must have been the first one then.
Yeah. But yeah. I still maintain that this is completely different from that. Like, but that's also like a one in a million. Not one in a million, but like, you know, it's a rarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like,
They don't like look at, and they only nominated him. I'm like 1,000% sure they only nominated him because he died.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, because Heath Ledger died because of that role.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want to say one of those, but, like, there are such things as, like, Oscar pity nominations, you know?
Well, he won it, too.
Wow.
There are such a thing, it's Oscar bait.
That's what I was thinking of.
It's Oscar bait. When actors lose and gain significant amount of weight for a role... Oscar bait.
Or if they put on a weird accent, Bradley Cooper.
Oh my god.
I know.
When they play the opposite gender,
mm-hmm.
Oscar bait. When they die, Oscar bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, basically, those are all things that happen. And, like, honest, I love Heath Ledger. I was mm-hmm. so happy that, he had won that category posthumously.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, his Joker was amazing. Mm-hmm. I just still think mm-hmm. that more of these films should be in more of these categories a lot sooner than Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's the other thing when it gets into these things. Like, I was talking about it yesterday with some other friends with about the Oscar noms. Is I don't think Black Panther is going to win Best Picture. So I wonder, and it feels a little weird because, like, yes, I think the Academy appreciated the film, but there was that whole thing of, like, they almost created the popular award, like, the most popular Oscar, and that was originally mm-hmm. created just for Black Panther. So now that Black Panther is in Best Picture, which, again, very well deserved, it's just a question of, to me, it feels weird of, like, do you actually appreciate this film for what it was, or are you just trying to go for the popular diversity vote? Like, do you
really... I mean, really... I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, It still feels like they're just trying to go for the popular vote a little bit, because it doesn't... I don't know. When it comes down to it,
well, if they want to make the movies... If they want to make the Oscars more, like, accessible... then they have to start nominating more popular movies.
Yeah.
Like, yes, the movies that get nominated are usually, like, really beautiful, and the cinematography is amazing, and the writing is amazing, but there's always something about it that's a little bit boring.
Yeah, they're pretentious. They're dry.
Yeah. Like, there's always something about these nominated films that make me kind of just go, you're just a little boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, in all honesty, La La Land should have never been nominated for anything.
All right, that's another take, because we were 10 minutes in.
Oh, I'm sorry. This just turned into, like, a total Oscars rant.
Yeah, I did... Before we leave this totally, I do want to at least go through the 7 nominations. So, Best Picture... For Black mm-hmm. Panther, original song, All the Stars, production design, costume design, and sound editing, sound mixing, original score, and that is it. I think
one of those sound ones has Quiet Place in there, and I'm 100% okay with Black Panther losing to a Quiet Place.
Yeah, but I do want to say, I don't think it's going to win Best Picture, but I do think it should have also been nominated for directing. I thought Ryan Coogler did a very good job mm-hmm. directing Black Panther. But it's okay.
I agree.
There are 6 other nominations for it to possibly win, so.
Yeah, but those are never, like, important ones.
Yeah, they're not the headline-making ones.
Yeah, so whatever. Again, totally important. Love that Black Panther got nominated. Just should have happened earlier.
Yes, congrats to Black Panther cast and crew on their historic nomination. I hope it goes well.
Truly.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God!
I didn't think it was going to take that many, to be honest. Because I'd seen the rumors, and I thought it was just going to take, like, song and directing, and then it got, like, everything else, and I was like, oh my God.
I just feel like it got Best Picture. Like, I cannot believe it got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, truly.
Okay.
Luke Cage.
So our 10-minute tangent. Yeah. We're back to Luke Cage. Okay. Yeah. Quite frankly, I only rewatched the season finale.
Yeah. I'm really bad at watching things, so I got super behind. So I spent all of yesterday watching, like, 8 hours of this show, because I had to watch all 8 episodes. So by the end, I was kind of doing the little 10-second skip through a lot of the final few episodes. But I don't think... I missed a lot of the artistry, but I don't think I missed plot. So I'll go back and watch those properly when it's not super late.
But did you ever do that for Daredevil Season 1?
Daredevil Season 1, I just straight skipped episodes. You know that. I have to go back and rewatch it.
That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, all right. It's 9 in the morning. That one clicked. Here we go.
Okay. Okay. What I should have done, honestly, so when this came out, I actually reviewed it for a publication on campus.
Oh, nice.
Emmertainment Monthly. Yeah. Even though we never wear a monthly magazine. So I reviewed it, and I should have gone back and read that, but I don't want to. Because I'm sure it kind of sucked. You know? Like, I'm sure it sucked a little bit.
Yeah, but we should still put it in the show notes.
Oh, God. So, I really like Luke Cage. I think he's a really cool character. I think it's very interesting. I think when the show came out, it was, like, right smack dab in the middle of everyone talking about police brutality.
Yeah.
So, Luke Cage was, like, super important to have in, like, the general lexicon, to have a bulletproof black man as a superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially protecting Harlem. Like, I can't think. Anyways, Yeah, Luke Cage, Netflix show, obviously. The first episode premiered on September 30th, 2016. According to Wikipedia, I did not realize that. The first 2 episodes of the season premiered in Harlem on September 28th. Oh. So I guess they had a special release party. Actually. That's really cool. I remember that. Yeah, I did appreciate... Obviously, this had a huge amount of meaning to, you know, black representation, because it wasn't just that, like, oh, Luke is black, cool. It's everyone and everything in it was very black, between, I believe, like, the director, a lot of, like, the entire cast. The setting was in Harlem.
The crew, I think.
Yeah. So I really appreciated just, like, what... Or, not. I don't want to say appreciate, but, like, I understood how culturally significant it was when it first came out in 2016, but I was so scared of the violence that I did not watch. And also, I think there were so many defenders out that I figured if I watched just Luke Cage, I wouldn't know what was happening. False. You could watch Luke. You could definitely watch Luke.
You can watch all of them without understanding what's happening in the others.
Yeah, for sure. So, if you're interested, you could just watch Luke on its own.
You just miss out on some of the little things, like, if you didn't know. Like all the times Claire was like, I know a really good lawyer.
Yeah.
Then you would kind of, if you know even tangentially about her and Daredevil, you would get it. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, really great when you know, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You're talking about Matt. Is Matt going to show up? Matt, show up.
That's my biggest beef with the MCU, and now it's just somehow kind of worse in Defenders, is the fact that they're all in New York, and I know why they won't cross over as much as they did, but, like, it does bother me that they're all of them are in New York, and they're not like, oh, wow, some shit's going down in Harlem. I wonder if they need my help. But nah.
Well, I kind of feel like what's happening in Har- like, okay, Daredevil is, like, strictly Hell's Kitchen.
But isn't Jessica Jones in Hell's Kitchen?
Jessica Jones is in Hell's Kitchen, but Jessica Jones doesn't care about things that don't affect her.
That's fair.
Like, she's very much like, why should I be involved in your fight?
Yeah.
And even though she cares about Luke, like, they have tension there. Like, she's not about to just, like, show up on Luke's doorstep and be like, what's up? You need help?
Yeah, and Luke isn't going to reach out because most of the arc of this is like, I got this. This is my fight. Yeah. So, I know why they don't reach out.
It would take away from Luke's whole arc.
Yeah.
If the defenders start showing up. And it's so important to this show to have Luke on his own and, like, doing it for himself. Because if you just start calling in the other defenders, then it just kind of becomes a show about that, not about him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things of just, like, you're all on the same very small island. No one ever just, like, picked up the phone and is like, you got this? I got this. All right.
Well, they also don't really have each other's numbers.
No.
At this point, Luke doesn't know who Daredevil is. Daredevil doesn't know who Luke is.
I know, but...
He just knows that they, like... He's probably watching the news and he's like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Anyways, my point stands that the separation is still a little weird on Manhattan. Anyways.
And that the only thing connecting them is Claire.
I appreciated that. I did not expect her to be such a large player in Luke Cage.
I was really happy that she was such a large player, but I also didn't like that relationship.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Well, I think it's because I skipped it in Daredevil, but I liked it more than her and Matt.
I mean,
at first I didn't think it was going to happen because she was with Matt, and then you saw it later.
I mean, she's like, not with Matt. She was never with Matt.
Well, I
just don't like that relationship. I don't know. I feel like part of it seems a little forced. I don't know. I just wasn't a fan. Mm. I just kind of was like, this seems random. Like the other dude didn't work, so let's try this one.
Oh. Do you think it's also because you know Luke and Jessica's endgame, so you're just kind of not entertained by anything that happens in the meantime?
I mean, I don't think so, because, like, the way they set up Luke and Jessica in this makes me not really want to ship them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard for me to, like, want that relationship to happen. Like, I wouldn't be mad if it happened. There wouldn't be a part of me that was like, ah, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. Like, they shouldn't be together because Luke's wife was murdered by Jessica, even though like, we all know the story was actually like, Kilgrave was the one who forced her to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kilgrave was the one that forced her to kill his wife, so it's not like that whole... And Luke has experienced the whole Kilgrave thing, so it's like he knows what it's like to be under that influence.
Yeah.
So I, like, can understand where they can find that common ground back to each other, but I can also understand if that, like, just never happened, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's not really, like, I'm not mad that they're happening because I know what's the end game. I'm just kind of like, eh.
That's fair.
Maybe I just do wish that, like, the whole Claire-Matt thing went and happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wish that was a thing that we got to experience, and maybe I'm a little bitter that, like, we got to experience it with Luke and not Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, I just didn't like it.
Okay. I did enjoy seeing her, like, more... I did enjoy seeing her just being such a great nurse. Like, we saw it elsewhere all the time, always, but just, like, she was such a good nurse whenever she was in Luke Cage because, like, you know, she was cleaning up after all of these massive fights that were happening and stuff like that. And she was just really capable, and I enjoyed watching that. Like, we never doubted it, But we only got to see, because she wasn't as involved, or she wasn't as in the plot as much in the other shows. So I liked seeing her.
Well, but in this one, it's not like she's a nurse. Well, like, she still is a nurse, because that is her profession or whatever. But she's not actually, like, working anywhere in this one.
Yeah, no, she's...
It's just kind of when she needs to, like, pop in and become a nurse when, like, they have to operate on Luke.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting, the introduction of bullets that can actually kill Luke Cage.
Yeah, I was shocked whenever it worked. But I guess, I mean, that was part of the... They had to do that for plot, is something had to get him... Not... something did have to, like...
He had to have his kryptonite.
Yeah.
To borrow from DC. He had to have a kryptonite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he couldn't
be...
Because
everyone has a kryptonite. You can literally fire a bazooka at Luke Cage and nothing will happen to him.
Yeah.
So there had to be something.
Mm-hmm. Which, did they explain what about the Judas bullet specifically got him?
You are asking someone who did not rewatch the season, so no, I don't
know.
All
right. Because I remember when we're introduced to it, the guy is explaining what it's made of, and I didn't know if that's what it was, but something in it, specifically got him.
I'm wondering if it was vibranium.
Yeah. Oh, they did say it was an otherworldly metal. They got it from the incident. They got it from the Avengers attack.
Oh.
So maybe that's why. Okay,
so that's it, that it was like alien metal and not like normal human metal, because who could anticipate alien metal?
Cool. Mystery solved.
Yeah, there we go. Done. I wonder if vibranium can pierce his skin, though.
I don't know how that...
Now I just kind of want him to show up and on, like, Wakanda's doorstep and have them figure it out.
I think him and Shuri would be a really cute, like... sibling type relationship, because like I think he'd have a lot of fun with Shuri, and Shuri would have a lot of fun, I would say, experimenting, but also just like they would have good banter. Yeah. I'd like to see Luke and Shuri interact. That'd be fun. Be wholesome.
But Shuri is someone that we shouldn't be talking about until Black Panther. Okay.
Oh.
It's okay. Whatever. Yeah. We attempt a spoiler-free zone, but sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have too much to say about Luke Cage, though, other than, like, the important bits and about, like, how impactful it was to the general societal sphere when it came out. I do really love Mahershala Ali's
performance. Yeah, I want to talk about Mahershala Ali, because this was the first time I've seen him. I haven't seen Moonlight or apparently anything else he's in. But he...
I've literally only ever seen him in this and Moonlight, so...
Okay, I figured... Yeah. But I heard tell of the legend. I knew he was a really good actor. And then I finally got to see him and I was like, oh my god, sir, you're terrifying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was like a really, truly amazing character.
Yeah.
And I love the, like, I'm sorry, I don't really know who that painting is of.
Oh my god, Biggie.
Oh, that's Biggie? Okay.
The crown iconography the director kept doing with Mahershala was so good.
So good. I loved it when he, like, walked into the scene and, like, you can see. It looks like he's wearing the crown.
Yeah.
Ugh. It was such a beautiful scene.
And then did you see later, they kind of did it the same thing with Stryker when he takes over the office. He's sitting on the couch do the same thing, but it doesn't fit. The crown doesn't fit him.
Yeah. Which one's Stryker? Is Stryker Diamondback?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, like, names are always weird. It is kind of interesting that this person that, like, Luke is fighting ends up being his half-brother.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting, but I figured, you know, the comics probably explained it better. Or not better, but, like, this makes sense to anyone who'd read the comics.
Yeah, but, okay, the thing is, though, so, again, I only watched the finale, and then all of a sudden, I'm, like, watching it again and whatever, and they're fighting, and Diamondback just says, "This is Hammer Tech, made specifically for you." And I was like, Hammer Tech still exists?
Yeah, I thought they would have gone out of business. But the Hammer Tech has come up once or twice in the Defenders.
I was so shook. I was like, Hammer Tech?
I know.
First of all, I'm surprised that that even works then.
Truly.
If it came out of Hammer Tech. Second of all, isn't Justin Hammer in jail?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Did a whole host of, I mean, I guess it's possible for, like, people to go to jail and then, like, there's a system in place for stuff like that. But when your company has such a huge scandal like that, they must have some sort of Pepper Potts level businesswoman running that stuff right now to be able to survive that kind of scandal where someone literally tried to kill Iron Man and they were like, no, it's okay, we're still an okay company.
Unless it's not an okay company and they're just all entirely, like, black market. Hammer Tech is entirely run on the black market. Because I wouldn't be surprised, because that's the whole Diamondback's whole thing, is he's an arms dealer.
I mean, like, maybe, but there still has to, if they're operating at all, they still have to have a face for the public that is a little bit trustworthy.
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know how the black market works.
I don't know how business works, so... But we'll still, see. I just feel like,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Hammer Tech is still around, and I was shocked.
Yes. I did want to talk about Mahershala Ali's death scene, because I messaged you about it, because he did such a good job.
Oh, yeah, I was asleep.
Yeah, I messaged her at, like, 3 a.m. her time. But he did such a good job of being the, like, refined, old-style kingpin gangster boss who runs the city, but then he becomes completely unhinged in his chase for Luke. So when he ended up dying, I was really sad because it was so undignified. His character deserved better. And it was his
cousin.
I kind of could tell that, like, either her Mariah or Shades was gonna kill him, but I just didn't know who it was. Honestly, as soon as she walked into that office, I was like, oh, she's going to kill him. But I didn't think it was going to be like that.
It is pretty, like, violent and, like, super personal.
Yeah.
The way that, she does it.
Yeah. Because also that episode goes into their family history as just, like, how messed up their family is. So as that was all surfacing, I was just like, oh, man. This is some dark stuff.
Yeah, and I like that was really cool. I liked seeing all of it. I also like when you get more of your villain.
Yeah.
Like there's something more to the villain than just like being a bad guy. Like sometimes it's necessary to just have like a you're just a bad guy villain, and that works really, really well.
Yeah.
But, like, for a show like Luke Cage, it's so necessary to understand your villain.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So now, like, we understand what Cottonmouth's whole thing was, and then we also understand where, what's-her-face is coming from.
Mariah
is coming from.
Yeah.
Like, you can understand both of their whole thing. And I don't know, I just thought it was very interesting to watch this show and realize that, like, the things that Luke is actually interacting with the most, or the people that he's interacting with the most, are, like, powerful women.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really ends up, he has to try and take down Mariah, right? Because she's the one that's kind of making Harlem worse.
Yeah.
And he's working with Claire, who is, like, the strongest woman in the MCU. And then also Misty, who is like a really badass, strong cop who's works in Harlem.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed Misty's character.
Really cool. Yeah. I really like Misty's character too. I spent the entire season going, so when's your arm gonna get ripped off? Cause that is her character. She has a a metal arm.
Oh. So I guess that kind of makes sense for the end, because she takes a bullet through the arm, and I was wondering how that was gonna end up, if she was gonna end up losing her arm.
I'm pretty sure when that happened I was like, is this how she loses her arm? That seems like not possible, because that seems stupid.
Yeah.
Just get like shot in the arm and like you amputate. Like, that's not a thing that happens anymore.
I was gonna say, yeah, unless something really bad happened afterwards. But I know, so she'll end up with a prosthetic at some point?
Yeah, well, because her character in the comics is that she's like this bionic lady.
Oh, okay.
So I only knew that because a friend of mine was telling me about it. And so I was like, oh, okay, so Misty doesn't have an arm. So I was like, okay, so she clearly has an arm.
Mm-hmm.
In this, she's both her arms in this one, clearly. And then you're like, I'm watching, and I'm like, every time anything happened with her, I was like, this is it, she's losing the arm. And then she didn't.
Oh, okay.
So I was just kind of waiting for it to happen. I was like, when are you going to do it? When's it going to happen? When's she going to lose the arm? When's she going to lose the arm?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, usually these characters, when you get introduced to them, like, if they're not the fully fledged version of the character that is what they are in the comics, like the Punisher, like when we met him, he was there. He didn't have any backstory. He was there.
Yeah, right.
So, but like Misty, I was like, okay, so she's going to get there. But when is she going to get there?
Yeah, well, good to know. I should watch out for Misty and something potentially brutally violent.
I mean, it is going to happen. Just because, like, that is her character. And I think if Marvel didn't do it, then people would get mad.
Sounds right.
They'd be like, well, why are you getting rid of this badass black amputee lady?
Yeah.
So, like, it does have to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She did kind of follow the too good, too smart and too good trope for a little bit, because she... Obviously, you know, the audience knows everything that's happening, but she had no idea what to think of Luke for most of it. She had no idea to think of Cottonmouth and things like that. So when she started getting on the wrong trail and she was just like, I don't know if I can trust you, Luke, or I don't know if I can believe you if you're innocent. That was the annoying cop trope of just like, just believe the antagonist, I promise. So I did feel...
You mean the protagonist?
Did I say antagonist? Anyways, protagonist, yes. So I was, I was really kind of annoyed and rooting for her. I was like, you're better than this, Misty. And then she finally came around, and I was just like, okay, good. We're all on the same side of the line now.
Yeah, it takes a while, but I feel like it always takes a while for, the cop characters to get around. It's the same thing with the cop characters in Daredevil, where you're like, ugh, stop fighting Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the one you should be fighting.
Yeah. And, I don't blame her. She didn't realize her partner was
dirty.
Was dirty. She didn't realize most of her department was dirty. So, I don't blame her for not seeing it. But it was one of those things of, once the audience knew and she still didn't, I was just like, no, Misty, you're too smart for this.
It's so frustrating when that stuff happens. I think the biggest thing that writers need to figure out is, when to loop in their characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because when everyone is there's only so much of that I can take with the characters not knowing what's happening and knowing what's happening and who knows what, and I'm like, ugh, just someone sit her down and tell her.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of this. I don't need to watch all of this television and her still be on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, or you don't want to sit through an explanation scene. Because you've been told what happened 2 episodes ago.
Oh my god, yeah. That's the worst. Where it's ugh. Just show me that she figured it out. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. I'm done with this. I don't want to linger anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember enjoying when she finally was looped in.
Yeah.
It's thank god.
Yeah. It's like, okay, everyone's where they should be now.
It's also weird that they started off this season with the two of them hooking up.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I just assumed, like, okay. So he moved on from Jessica. He's living his own life up in Harlem. Here we go.
Especially, but, like, why did it have to be with her? Because, like, nothing comes from it. I feel like it was just an unnecessary thing that makes things a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I did. I thought that it was gonna, they were gonna have something again, and then they officially killed that option. So I don't know why they wanted
Maybe that's why I didn't like the whole Claire thing, because they were trying to, I don't know, they, like, half-assed set up a thing with him and Misty.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they were like, no, Claire's in the picture now.
Yeah, it's Claire.
And I was like, oh, okay, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It just feels like there's nothing. I don't know. She's as involved in this season of Luke Cage as she was in the first season of Daredevil, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like the whole setup to the relationship was just different.
Mm.
And I didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
Like, the way they set up the relationships between, like, Claire and Matt is different from the way they set up between Luke and Claire. And I don't, like, it's not bad. Like, they are different people. The relationships would happen differently.
Yeah.
I just don't like the way it happened.
Oh. I skipped season one of Daredevil, so I have no opinions.
Yeah, that's why when you were like, this is the most we've seen of Claire, and I was like, no.
Oh.
No, it's not. Like, she's a character, recurring character in season one.
Okay. I'll go back Daredevil. Someday. When I finish every other TV show that we have to get through, I'll go back to Daredevil. And
I don't think you're ever going to get through it, but it's okay.
In the year 2025.
Yes. When there's going to be, like, 80 more.
Ew. there's too many TV shows. This is wearing me out. Anyways.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty impressive on my part that I had actually seen pretty much all of them.
I don't know how you do it. Well, also, you did it, like, in the years and the, like, the months when they came out versus I'm trying to sit through all of them in a month.
Yeah. I mean, like, Lily, we did have a lot of time off.
Yeah, but I'm not a binger. After, like, 3 hours straight, I feel gross, and I need to move. I can't do anything more than, like, 4 hours of TV.
That's the opposite of me.
Ugh.
Because I can binge things for a straight day.
That's wild.
When Luke Cage came out, the only reason I didn't binge it in the whole day was because I had a class in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to class, and by the time I got home, it was one of those stupid 10 to 2 classes.
Yeah.
So it was like 3 when I got home.
Yeah.
So I could not physically finish it in that day.
Yeah.
So I finished it like over 2 days. But still, that's usually my go-to. Like the season comes out, and I'm like, that day, done.
Man.
Out.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my prerogative. I do like getting more of Luke's backstory in this season. We see his time in prison and when he meets his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was really interested in his backstory. I didn't expect
that to be the way that he met his wife.
Yeah. I was interested in Reva, obviously, because of her intro in Jessica Jones, or her lack of intro in Jessica Jones, and that wasn't how I expected them to meet either. I also expected
her to be more pure.
Yeah, that character reveal was, I think we all felt it with Luke when he realized Reva wasn't everything she said she was, but I do believe that she still loved him, like,
yeah, I mean, like, I don't think she didn't love him. I don't know what it does for the plot to make her not, like, a good person. I mean, not a good person, but you know
dishonest.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't completely honest about everything with Luke.
Also, I can't believe he went from Carl Lucas to Luke Cage. He was like, oh, my name is Carl Lucas, and I need to change my name so that no one can find me. I'm going to be Luke Cage.
I'll just switch some things around.
I feel like Reva should have been like, are you sure you want to use the same name just in a different place?
Yeah.
Like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, you want to call yourself Luke from your last name and then add the cage because of the Bible?
I don't know. But it worked. We got a badass superhero name. That's not an alliteration.
I know, but I feel like the Luke Cage is a great name.
Yes.
I just feel like they could have done something different with his,
actual name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying change Luke Cage. I'm saying change Carl Lucas.
Yeah. Also, Carl is such a funny name. I'm really entertained that at one point that was his name for a long time. Like, he looked like that and his name was Carl. I'm sure there are a lot of very large and buff Carls out there. I'm just really entertained by that idea. I don't know why.
I just realized that the only Carls I've ever known in my life have been black.
You didn't meet Emerson, tall, skinny, white Emerson Carl?
No.
Oh.
No, I knew two Carls in, high school, and they were both black. One spelled it with a K, but his name was still Carl.
I'm the opposite. I've only ever met, skinny, white Carls.
Well, isn't that kind of interesting? Like, I know this is another tangent, but, I think I was talking to our friend Elise once, and she was like, I've only ever met Asian lilies, and I was like, what? Really? Because I've met, quite a few white lilies, too.
Oh. I've only ever met Asian adoptee lilies.
It's no, specific. I knew, some lilies in high school, and they were white.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I know two lilies who are Asian adoptees now. Yep. You and the other teacher here.
Yep.
So there's that. Okay. That was another tangent.
Yes. Back to Luke.
I don't know what else to say about Luke Cage.
Well, I was just going to say, it was another show, and I feel like the Defenders do it a little bit better than a lot of the other MCU, is New York is really a character in the show, especially in, I feel like, in Daredevil and Luke Cage. Daredevil is all about Hell's Kitchen. We know that. And then I really appreciated the way they kind of carried that same sentiment about the neighborhood over into Luke Cage, and it was really about Harlem. And what the history of Harlem, how it came up, how it's getting gentrified, how, the people who are protecting it, who's protecting it, what are their best interests, so on and so forth. Because, Mariah Dillard is trying to, protect Harlem-ish, not really, because she's corrupting it further, but she's,
Well, she's trying to, profit off of Harlem.
Yeah, but she's also old Harlem. Her whole family has done the whole thing of, building up the neighborhood while also tearing it down, and
yeah. I'm currently looking for my review to see if I said anything profound.
Okay. And then I did one of the tensions between Cottonmouth and Luke is that Cottonmouth, since as Mariah's cousin, he's also a part of that, the Stokes family built and low-key destroyed Harlem. And then, so both of them feel like they're earned and they're entitled to this neighborhood, city. I don't know, the city. And then Luke comes from Atlanta, I believe. Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah or Atlanta? He's not from New York. So they are who is this outsider messing up our neighborhood? So I just... And then Pops... The whole thing about his barbershop being Switzerland and just being such an integral part of the story and his character and how it affects Luke. Obviously, I'm not black. I know nothing really about black culture, but I do know that, the barbershop is one of the key touch points of black American culture, and I really appreciated how they were able to tie that in to Luke Cage.
Oh, I tried to go deep with this review. I tried to be so deep. Luke Cage brings racial biases to the forefront, but it also plays with gender roles in the best ways possible. Cottonmouth and his cousin Mariah were raised by their grandmother to adhere to gender roles, but Mariah grew up to be a councilwoman and Cottonmouth to run the illegal businesses. It becomes increasingly clear that each want the other's life. This tension comes to fruition in the most amazingly violent way when Mariah kills Cottonmouth with a microphone stand. This is one of the most brilliant things Luke Cage presents in the show. Mariah is never seen as a threat, but of the two, she is the bigger threat than her cousin.
Hmm. I'd agree with that. Because, yeah, I think Cottonmouth would have been a fine politician. And she's doing a fine job running the gang.
You know what? I thought I was going to be embarrassed by this review. I'm not. This is not a bad review.
Yeah, post it in show notes.
Nothing makes an avid viewer happier than references to the greater Marvel Universe. The inclusion of Trish Talk, the radio show run by Jessica Jones's foster sister, The Incident, Justin Hammer, and any mention of Daredevil left fans absolutely giddy. I used the word giddy.
Good. That's true journalism right there. That's true entertainment journalism right there. But I loved that kid who was selling DVDs. I loved him.
I do not remember this kid, but okay.
He had a very minor part, but he was, you know.
Oh, doesn't he say something about Iron Man or something?
Yeah, he's the one selling things of the incident with the movies of the incident. And he's becomes kind of like the eyes and the lookout kind of for Luke Cage because he watches everyone go by in the neighborhood. And then when he's fighting Diamondback at the end, he's calling his friend of just like, bring the camera. Luke's fighting Diamondback. Bring the 4K. He was just good kid.
I would also like to point out this sentence. It was very frustrating when Luke would not take up Claire's offer of the amazing lawyer she knows. Just accept the offer, Luke. And that part's in parentheses. Just accept the offer, Luke. That's in parentheses. Oh my god. It would be irresponsible not to mention the ultimate reference of the entire show, Luke Cage in his original outfit from the comics.
I assume that's him in a hoodie, right?
That is true. No, it's the neon yellow shirt.
Oh.
It's when he breaks out of the prison.
Yeah.
That whole getup is his original outfit.
Oh, I did not know that. Nice.
Yeah.
Then I appreciate
it. I forgot about that.
I appreciate how they made fun of it later.
Oh, because it looks so stupid.
Yeah.
I literally say in the review, Luke Cage promptly decides he looks like an idiot and takes off the metal headband.
Yep. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. I should have reread this before I started this episode. It's not a bad review.
No, I'm sure it's not. Okay, but they put him in the hoodie so often. I figure maybe they were just trying to make that the new costume.
No, they were trying to reference, like, a black man in a hoodie is dangerous, like.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that because someone said it later, but, yeah.
Because yeah. That was what they were trying to do there. They were just trying to be like, black man in a hoodie, he's a superhero, he's not dangerous, like.
Yeah.
What it, you know, like that kind of thing. Because at the time, there were so many innocent black men who were dying because of police brutality. And, I mean, like, a normal outfit to wear is, like, a hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the hood up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just think about Trayvon Martin. He got shot because he had his hood up and was listening to music and had, like, Skittles and an Arizona iced tea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was just a direct reference to literally that.
Yeah.
Which is important, and it was really good.
I thought they did a really good job of kind of discussing.
Luke Cage's, like, name, he's Power Man.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a stupid name, Power Man. But whatever. Marvel is filled with stupid names that I feel like we all just are like, yeah!
Yeah, you just kind of go with them.
You roll with it, because it's like, they're these huge players. You know what's really interesting is that in this one, he doesn't try to hide his face. There's nothing. Like, I guess Jessica Jones is the same way, but, like, different in that way that she, like, just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like, whatever, like, say I'm a freak, who cares? Like, mm-hmm. screw you. But, yeah. like, Luke Cage is just kind of like, no, I want people to know that I'm the one protecting Harlem.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was also like, sending a message out to Mariah and Cottonmouth. Of, like, he's not hiding. Because that's what they do. Yeah. They are hiding everything that they do.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I just think it's interesting. I just thought it was mm-hmm. interesting that he was like, I'm not going to hide my face from you guys anymore. I'm going to, like, show it off. I mean,
mm-hmm.
bright, see me. Mm-hmm. See me. And yeah. see what I can do. And I'm coming after you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is frustrating, though, that Mariah gets away with it.
Yeah, I know. That was a lot to watch. Because you kind of see everything come together, and then, nope. I didn't realize Fisk's lawyer was just the villain defender. The villain defender defender.
I mean, if he was helping Fisk, and there's no way he's just Fisk's lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm sure Fisk is, like, his number one client, but, like, mm-hmm. Fisk is in jail. What's he gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, like, I'm sure he works for, like, a law firm, so.
Yeah. But, well-connected.
Yeah.
Well-connected villain lawyer.
I mean, like, you gotta go to the best.
Mm-hmm. And he's very good at it.
He's the best. He's the best.
Yeah.
You know what I realized, though, in watching the finale?
Hmm.
There was a teeny tiny little itty-bitty setup for Iron Fist.
Oh, okay. Where?
And it's at the end. Luke has just been arrested. And, like, all of the characters are kind of going off doing their own thing. And Claire is walking off. And she pulls a tab off of a flyer for Colleen.
Oh.
Who is,
I'll, like, see her in Iron Fist.
The main side character of Iron Fist.
Yeah. I heard
she's like the Asian one that pulls through.
Yeah, she's the best part of that show.
She is.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see her.
Yeah, so I just was, like, watching and I was like, what? Like, I was like, oh,
that's
my God.
A nice
they,
little
like,
lead-in.
Set this up in Luke Cage that she goes to start, like, self-defense lessons with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm sure I should have held off to say this until our Iron Fist episode, which is in, like, 2 weeks, but still I had to say it now because when I saw it, I was like,
yeah. Nice.
I truly couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, they are very good at tying in the Defenders together. Like,
in, like, the smallest, most annoying ways.
Yeah, because the DA from Daredevil shows up. I can't remember his name.
Well, because it is still New York.
He still has his job. He is in New York, but he still has his job. But, you know, it was just one of those, like, yeah, the lawyer showing up, the DA showing up, stuff like that. You're just like, oh, yeah.
And I totally they agree with 2016 you. Me that was like, or was that 2016?
It came out in 16.
2016 me that was like, just take up the offer, Luke. Let Daredevil show up and be your lawyer. I feel like if Matt was there, he wouldn't have gotten arrested in the first place.
No, I feel like if Foggy was there, he wouldn't have gotten arrested in the first place. Lord knows where Matt would have run off to.
I mean, like, I get it, but at the same time, Foggy's not going to be taking anything up because, as we know, at the end of season 2, he went off to work with Marcy.
No, hang on. So, Defenders, the timeline of Defenders is chronological. Like, Luke Cage isn't happening at the same time as Daredevil season 2. It's Daredevil, Luke Cage, they are happening just, like, in chronological chunks?
I think so. I thought so.
Okay.
I didn't think that they were happening, like, at the same time. I thought they were all happening, like, I don't know. It's possible that it's happening at the same time, but I would just feel bad for New York if that was the case.
I feel especially bad for Hell's Kitchen. There is
No, it has to be after the fact because Claire got fired from her job, and in this one, she's like off to go visit her mom because she just got fired from her job.
Okay, you're right. So it's immediate.
So this is like sometime like right after that whole situation. No, she didn't get fired. I think she quit. Didn't she quit?
She quit because the hospital didn't want to tell the news that they were attacked by ninjas.
By undead ninjas.
They were immortal ninjas. Anyways.
Yeah.
They weren't just men in masks. They were real ninjas. Okay.
They were like honest to God ninjas.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's pretty much it, right?
It is. I feel like we didn't talk about Luke Cage at all.
We didn't, but it's okay. We somehow filled the hour.
We did, and
I hope y'all enjoyed this.
This show it was a fun episode, but this show deserved a better analysis than what we gave it, but I don't know. I'm brain dead.
No, I think it, whatever. I mean, no one said that we're like the smartest two people in the world.
That's true. We can't really break down everything about it, but overall, I really enjoyed Luke Cage. It's up there with my favorite. Now that I'm finally getting around to the Defenders, I really enjoy them, but it's up there.
I mean, I don't, ranking them, he still is third. But like, because it's always Daredevil's always my number one.
Oh really?
And I love Jessica Jones, so she's like right there.
Yeah.
And then it's Luke Cage, and then like I don't even want to put Iron Fist on this like list, but he has to be, so he's there.
What about Punisher?
Oh. I don't count that because he's not really a defender.
Yeah, he's just in this universe.
He's there, but he's not. Ooh. The Punisher's a good show. I cannot wait to talk about The Punisher.
You are going to be carrying that episode.
Yes, I will be.
Atlas
It's
style.
Okay, though. It's yeah. Okay, though. What are we talking about next week, Lily?
Let me look. Luke Cage. This one's Doctor Strange. So if anyone was listening, or for the people who listened to our Agents Season 3 episode, that was a mistake on my editing.
No, I thought we said that we were talking about Luke Cage next.
No, I left it in, or we didn't. We ended up, if you listen to the last, 2 minutes, it's us talking about Doctor Strange, and that is on my bad.
Okay, well, then, next week is Doctor Strange, this week was Luke Cage.
Yes.
Let's give Lily the benefit of the doubt.
But I'm excited. The other one, Doctor Strange, is fun. Not really. But it was a good conversation.
Yeah, we've already recorded that one. And
it was a good conversation.
I guess so. We'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. Shoot us an email at EMFangirls@gmail.com and check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com.
Yes, please let us know if you're listening. Like I said, we don't know if we have 500 or 700 subscribers.
We're very confused.
Yes. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing internationally. Back to back. We are in full production mode right now.
Let's go.